In the early decades of the 19th century, few crops shaped the destiny of the United States as powerfully as cotton. At first glance, cotton appeared to be a simple agricultural product. Soft, white fiber gathered from fields, cleaned, packed, shipped, spun, woven, and sold. Yet behind that ordinary appearance stood one of the most complex and consequential systems in American history. Cotton transformed landscapes, drew millions of acres into commercial agriculture, made fortunes for planters and merchants, strengthened the institution of slavery, and deepened the political division between North and South. By the time Americans began speaking of King Cotton, they were not merely praising a crop. They were describing an empire of land, labor, credit, violence, and ambition that reached from the fields of Mississippi to the mills of New England and Britain. The rise of cotton was not inevitable. During the colonial period and the years immediately following independence, the plantation economy of the South had centered more heavily on tobacco, rice, indigo, and sugar. These crops had already created societies of wealth and bondage, particularly in Virginia, the Carolinas, Georgia, and Louisiana. Tobacco exhausted the soil and required constant labor. Rice demanded skilled cultivation in swampy coastal lowlands. Sugar was brutally labor-intensive and flourished mainly in the warm, wet regions of Louisiana and the Caribbean. Cotton existed, but it was not yet the crop that would dominate the South. Long staple cotton, prized for its smooth fibers, grew best on the sea islands and along particular coastal regions, while short staple cotton, which could grow across the interior South, was difficult to clean because its seeds clung tightly to the fiber. That difficulty changed dramatically in the 1790s with the spread of the cotton gin, a machine associated most famously with Eli Whitney. The gin did not invent cotton cultivation, and it did not make cotton profitable on its own. What it did was accelerate the separation of seeds from short staple cotton, making the crop far more practical on inland farms and plantations. This technical improvement mattered because short staple cotton could thrive across much of the warm interior South, from Georgia and Alabama to Mississippi, Louisiana, Arkansas, and eventually Texas. Land that had once seemed unsuitable for profitable staple crop agriculture suddenly appeared rich with commercial promise. As a result, the cotton gin helped unlock a vast agricultural frontier, and that frontier would be built on enslaved labor. The timing of this transformation was crucial. Across the Atlantic world, industrialization was creating an enormous demand for raw cotton. Textile mills in Britain, especially in Lancashire, needed a steady supply of fiber to feed their machines. Northern mills in New England also expanded, tying American manufacturing to Southern agriculture. As spinning and weaving technologies improved, the need for cotton increased with remarkable speed. The United States, with its climate, land, navigable rivers, and enslaved labor force, became the leading supplier. Cotton exports grew from a minor part of the American economy into its most valuable export commodity. The crop connected the plantation South to global capitalism, even as planters insisted that their society was distinct from the industrial wage labor world of the North. This contradiction lay at the heart of the cotton economy. Southern planters often described themselves as guardians of tradition, honor, and rural independence, but their wealth depended on international markets, bank loans, shipping networks, insurance firms, merchants, brokers, textile manufacturers, and fluctuating prices. A plantation might look like a self-contained rural estate, but it was deeply entangled with commerce. Bales of cotton moved from fields to gins, from gins to presses, from presses to wagons, riverboats, warehouses, counting houses, ships, and factories. Each bale carried with it the labor of enslaved people and the expectations of creditors. Cotton made the South appear powerful, but it also made the region vulnerable to debt, speculation, and changes in demand beyond its control.